incredible, right?
This happened at Dodger Stadium last night. Paul McCartney was wrapping up his North American tour. Dodger Stadium, where the Beatles performed, you know, back in the day. Probably 64, 65, 66, somewhere around that.
Wasn't there a surprise mystery guest?
A surprise guest at the end of the show. Paul McCartney says, we want to welcome a surprise guest. Playing the drums for Paul McCartney in this. Ringo Starr. Cool is that?
That's very cool. And as close as we're going to ever get now to a reunion. Yeah,
that is the Beatles reunion that we're going to get. Came out, they did Sgt. Pepper's together, and they did Helter Skelter. Let's see what happens here next. Should be Helter Skelter. Joe Walsh, formerly of the Eagles, also was a surprise guest last night.
That's not too bad either.
How awesome is this? At the end of it all, Ringo takes his drumsticks, throws them into the crowd. Doesn't that seem dangerous? You could put out an eye with those drumsticks,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah. Well, you could.
That's very cool, though.
Oh, yeah. This was at... what stadium again?
Dodger Stadium.
Dodger Stadium.
Los Angeles, California. Last night. Very cool.
When they were here, they played the Chicago Amphitheater. Or did they play Old Comiskey?
The Beatles?
Yeah.
They played Comiskey and the Amphitheater.
And the Amphitheater. Both, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Right.
Did I
that
see them?
That is cool.
Would I see, did I
did
see
you
them
see
when
them?
No, my dad wouldn't let me go.
Oh, I did not get
not
to see,
to see the, that hippie music. You're not going to pay. You're not going to
communism.
$6 to go see these guys with the long hair. $6. I could have seen the Beatles.
$6. Oh, I know. We had a teacher that told us that they were fed on communism.
Really?
So,
did
yeah.
they really say that?
Oh, yeah. And they were very serious, too.
Well, that it was probably didn't help when John Lennon, here in Chicago, by the way, said that the Beatles were more popular than Jesus.
Than Jesus. That probably didn't help matters,
that
yes.
That probably did not endear the Beatles to many parents.
That did cause a stir, didn't it?
To this day.
Yes.
People are like, I don't like John Lennon
because he said that.
It's like you didn't hear the whole thing that he said. He was trying to, you know, trying to talk about Beatlemania and, you know, how people are going nuts over them. Anyway, that was a pretty cool thing in music that happened last night. While we're talking about music here real quick, the Rolling Stones had another concert postponement, this time not because of Mick's health or anyone's health, but because of they were supposed to appear tonight in New Orleans. May have heard a little tropical storm. Barry is affecting the New Orleans area. And they decided to postpone the show until tomorrow night.
Yeah, the rain situation down there is still pretty intense. The storm is weakening, but it's still moving through. And levees have broken. I don't know if you saw some video of that last night and this morning.
I saw some last night.
Big problems with the levees down there, but the storm is still impacting that area. So hopefully they can get the concert in tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, they're projecting, you know, if you believe the weather people, and who doesn't? they say that it should be all clear and that they should be able to get the show in. But I guess, is it an outdoor arena? I don't know if it's an arena where, you know, you can close the roof, the Superdome, the Mercedes-Benz Superdome.
Oh, the Superdome? I am not sure.
Is that a
in Atlanta?
No, New Orleans.
New Orleans.
New Orleans. Oh, New Orleans. Yeah. I believe that's just a dome.
So it is a closed dome, right? So the rain shouldn't affect it, but I guess maybe they're
getting there.
Tropical storms and getting there and all that.
Right. Right. Parking and transportation would be affected.
Right. Yeah, so that's going on. And then this crazy power outage in New York last night that took down, what, like 75,000 people were without power in the New York area.
At its height, yeah.
But the area that was affected was Midtown Manhattan.
That's right.
So the so many Broadway shows had a shutdown last night, and the, you know, they couldn't perform. Some of the casts from some of these shows actually went outside. Times Square,
which I saw that,
is usually pandemonium anyway. Not my favorite place to go because it's so crowded on a good night. But with this power outage, it was five times more crowded out there. But a lot of the casts of the shows who could not do their shows inside the theaters came outside, and they sang some of their songs from their shows a cappella outside.
I saw the video of that.
Pretty
good
cool.
idea.
Yeah, it's nice.
Good idea.
I mean, you can try to make lemonade out of a bad situation.
And I imagine it was pretty hot there, so people needed lemonade.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
With no power, no AC.
If it was hot in New York like it was hot here, and I think it was, I can't even imagine
what that was like.
What that was like, because you get into some of these crowded, you get on the subway. So people were stuck in the subway during this
right,
in New York
with
last
no power.
Night.
Yeah,
I cannot even imagine what that must have smelled like. Not pleasant. Yeah, so people got, you know, trapped places, stuck. The power finally came back on at midnight, I guess. But
right.
Jennifer Lopez was supposed to do a show at Madison Square Garden.
They canceled the show at Madison Square Garden.
Shut down because it's right in Midtown Manhattan.
Yep. They're blaming a substation.
Well, always blame the substation.
The substation. A failure at the substation.
It's always a failure at the substation.
And by the way, their utility is Con Ed with
not
an
comma.
N.
Right,
not Com Ed.
Like ours.
But Con Ed, yeah.
I don't want to try to equate my own personal things with what, you know, the power outage in New York, which, by the way, wasn't the power outage in New York on the exact same day as the power outage that took place there in the 1960s?
Oh, one a little over 50 years ago?
Yeah.
I'll have to check into that. It was in the summertime.
I thought I saw on Twitter that somebody said, what are the odds that the power outage would take place on the exact anniversary of...
of the big one.
The big power outage that took place, I think it was 66 or 67, something like that. But just, you know, I can relate to what New Yorkers were going on, because my, you know, we had those storms a couple of weeks ago. Power was out at my house three times.
Yeah, Northeast blackout of 1965.
65.
November 9th.
November 9th.
Yeah, according to what I'm looking at here.
Huh, okay.
Yeah. It wasn't all that small, though. It affected parts of Canada, Connecticut, Massachusetts, New Hampshire.
Yeah. Well, I guess
Vermont.
I guess I shouldn't complain that I had to reset the clock on my microwave. Oh, this is such an inconvenience.
I finally noticed mine from about a year and a half ago.
Oh, I've got to reset that clock again.
How do you do it?
It's such an inconvenience. 9:28, we're going to get into the far-flung forecast, update the news, all coming up next. Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. Most of us watched
Columbia,
those very hazy images on television. July 20th, 1969, as Neil Armstrong takes the first steps ever by man on the moon. Where were you when it happened? What were you doing? What were your circumstances? We were at home. We lived on the south east side at the time. In the South Shore neighborhood, in our basement, refinished basement like a lot of people had back in the day. We had a black and white TV. We didn't get color TV in our house till the mid-70s. But we were watching on, this black and white TV, these very hazy images, and completely astounded that we were seeing somebody walking on the surface of the moon. David, how about you? What were you doing?
Hi, Dean. Thanks for taking my call. Unfortunately, I was in a galaxy far, far away. I was still in utero for five more days before the moon landing.
Okay.
I My mom was working at Heinz VA Hospital at the time, and I think, though, that day, like, I know she told me she watched the moon landing along with everyone else practically in the world, but I missed it by 5 whole days.
Wow. But I'll bet your mom, and, you know, like a lot of places, because if I remember correctly, maybe my memory is completely wrong, but I seem to remember this happening in the evening, at least Chicago time, that everything stopped. So I imagine people who worked second shift, you know, that everyone took TVs to work, to the, you know, schools, to every place, so they could keep up on this very historic mission.
I know she definitely watched it because she told me about it. And it's hard to overestimate the worldwide fixture on that event at that time. Right. I don't know that we could achieve today anything like that amount of unity at that precise moment.
Right. And you got to think about this also, that these were the days before, you know, satellite transmissions and, you know, all this and that, and the, you know, how everyone was focused, literally everyone in the world was focused on, you know, that which had never occurred before, walking on the moon.
And that's exactly it. It was that focus, just like you said. And, hey, can I wish my wife a happy anniversary? It's our 18th anniversary today. Hi, Tina. Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary, Tina. And from your in utero David as well. I appreciate your call. Have a great day today. Happy anniversary to you too, David. Thank you.
Thanks, Dean. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Here's Fran and Aurora. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi. My husband had taken our older children and gone camping, so I was home with several of the younger kids, and they were all in bed. And I had turned the TV on, and like you said before, I think the whole world was watching. It was a wonderful time when everybody was kind of united over something. But I turned the TV on, of course, and I thought, wait a minute. I opened my front door to my living room, and I laid on the floor, and I looked at the moon, and I looked at the TV all at the same time,
wow.
Back and forth, back and forth. It was great.
That's so cool that you were looking at the moon while they were looking at the moon on TV.
Yes, yes. Not that I could see anything, of course.
Yeah, but to know that night when you looked up at the moon, that people were walking around up there. Humans were walking around up there.
It really was amazing. And like I said, the whole world pulled together to watch everything, and that was a great time. And all these people that don't believe that it happened, you know, I can't understand how they, well, they weren't there. If they had been there, they would have known the enormity of what had happened that at that time in the world when people used to stand outside. A lot of people didn't have TV sets, and they were, you know, in store windows, and you'd see
right.
people gathered around looking in the store window at what was going on. It really was fabulous back then.
That's very true. And even to this day, if someone, you know, some people will say, hey, the sky is blue, somebody will go, it's not blue, it's red. They're going to disagree no matter what you say.
I know, but yeah, it was kind of spectacular, though. I thought, you know what? I can see the moon from my front door. It just happened to be positioned properly at that time.
That's cool.
So I laid on the floor. I could see the TV, and I could see the moon out my front door as I was laying on the floor watching both.
That's very cool. Thanks for the call, Fran. I appreciate it. This is Bonnie in South Bend. You're on WGN.
Hi, Dean. I wanted to tell you that I was in Pensacola, Florida on that day. My husband was a pilot in the Navy, and that was our first wedding anniversary.
Oh, wow.
And we thought, what a better way to celebrate our anniversary than to watch him walk on the moon.
That's right. How did you celebrate?
Well, we watched the moon landing, and then we went to the officers' club and celebrated.
Oh, very nice! I'll bet that was quite a night.
It was amazing because it happened to be our first wedding anniversary,
sure.
So it was kind of special for us.
Well, sure, and it's, you know, especially if you were involved in the military, then it must have been a very proud moment.
He was a Navy pilot, and he applied for the astronaut program.
Oh, wow! How about that? That's amazing.
But he didn't get in, but But it was exciting. It really was.
What a memory.
And like the previous lady said, whoever doesn't believe it, they're crazy because it really happened.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. This is Bonnie. You're on WGN. Hello.
Hi. Hey, you just talked to me, didn't you?
Oh, I'm sorry, Bonnie. Excuse me. I'm looking at the wrong line here.
Well, it was a pleasure. It was a pleasure to talk to you, Dean. I listen to you every Sunday morning.
It was my pleasure, and I appreciate your calling very much. Thank you. Let's go
Thank
to
you.
Robert.
Bye-bye.
You are on WGN.
Good morning. Well, first of all, I would say that anybody who we've gone backwards over 50 years when people believe that this didn't happen, just like anti-vaccination and climate change and deniers
right.
and so
right.
on.
That's
so
what I was gonna...
we've gone backwards in science. But anyway, I was in Cleveland, Ohio, and I had just gotten back from watching the Cleveland Indians and the Detroit Tigers in a doubleheader in Municipal Stadium, sitting at the Sheraton Cleveland Hotel and watching that amazing event that really, for a country that was deeply divided, provided some real unity and real hope.
Sure.
When Neil Armstrong walked on the moon.
Yeah, because that was the during the worst time of
yes.
The Vietnam conflict, and the nation
yep.
was torn apart. There was nothing but conflict and racial strife.
Right.
That
right.
was
and Richard
going
Nixon was president. Very
right.
divisive.
Yeah.
The other thing I would mention, though, is that was the same weekend that Ted Kennedy drove the car off the bridge at Chappaquiddick, and Mary Jo Kopechne was killed, and that was exactly the same weekend. So even then, there was still issues, but that event really did bring the country together and gave reason for optimism.
Yeah, it sure did. I appreciate your call. Thank you very much. We'll take
Thank
a
you.
Quick break. We're going to update news in a couple of minutes. 720 WGN. Starting our theater segment a little bit early today. If you were listening on Steve Cochran's show when I reviewed Music Man when it officially opened this past Monday, you heard me raving about the show, the production, and especially the performances. The two leads of the show, Jeff Packard and Monica West, who play Harold Hill and Marion the Librarian, will join us in a few minutes. But we've got an extra special treat for you this morning. The actors who are also the Barbershop Quartet in the show are here with us today. And they are Jeremy Peter Johnson, Jonathan Swart, Christopher Cayley Jones, James Konacek, and guys, welcome. Nice to have you all here with
Hi.
Us today.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for being here. And let's start off with... what you do best. You guys do a song, right?
Sure.
What are you going to sing for us from the show, right?
Yeah, we're going to sing a song called It's You.
Okay.
Which is kind of kicks off the second act.
All right. This is my favorite part when he blows the little harmonica thing.
It's you in the sunrise. It's you in my cup. It's you all the way into town. It's your sweet hello, dear, that sets me up. And it's your got to go, dear, that gets me down. It's you on my pillow in all of my dreams. Till once more the morning breaks through. What words could be saner or truer or plainer than it's you, it's you.
Wow, that is awesome. Nice job at this hour of the morning also, by the way. That sounds so great.
We just roll out of bed and do
yeah.
that.
Is that yeah. no harmonizing, no vocalizing,
Move
anything?
Back some coffee? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. So smoke some cigarettes before you...
Yeah.
That's
a couple of Bloody Marys. Why not?
That's right. Have you all done this kind of singing before, or are you actors, singers... in a conventional sense, and just got sort of plopped into being a barbershop quartet?
It's kind of a mix, I think, for all of us. I was in a kind of a four-part male harmony group for about 7 years doing, like, retro rock pop music. So that's kind of my history. But other than that, been an actor kind of my whole life. You guys?
Yeah, well, I've been around theater for quite a while. And this is, I think, probably the second or third barbershop I've had experience with.
So. Well, with that voice, you have to be in the barbershop.
Well, yeah.
It would be against the law for you to not to be in a barbershop quartet.
It's kind of a ringer, I suppose.
Yeah.
I actually did the barbershop quartet in a production of The Music Man about 10 years ago, except I played J.C. Squires, the high tenor.
Yeah.
And so now I guess my voice has finally dropped, and I'm Oliver Hicks, the baritone. But it's really great. It's sort of a mini brotherhood, and you know, we have spent a lot of time sort of not just learning our harmonies, but you know, finding the dynamics and making sure we come in and, yes, and cut off at the same time,
the
and all that sort of thing.
It as yeah. Well. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. There, your moments in the show when the barbershop quartet is singing, mm-hmm, are really kind of show stopping in a way, because there is just something so appealing about a cappella singing,
yeah,
and you know, this like fearless singing without instrumentation, right, without the band, without anything else that's going on, that just you zero in on what's happening.
It definitely feels like the riskiest singing that I've done, yeah, in a while, because especially in Act Two, at the end of each of our numbers, we have the orchestra coming in, and so that's. That's definitely the tell of whether we've
stayed in key.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, especially on this number, at the end, there's this huge just orchestral chord coming in, and it really is a thrill to, yeah, be standing up there and to hear that and also know, wow, we did it.
Yeah, you made it.
We made it this time.
You made it. Well, it sounds great, and I'm glad, so happy that you could come in this morning. Do you have like a little something, another just a little song to take us out on? Something?
Sure.
We do, and this is the first one that we do.
I was hoping for Bohemian Rhapsody.
This is when we first meet the quartet, and they sort of discover that they have this kind of four people who've constantly fought and argued for years and years and years suddenly find that they have this ability to, I don't know why I'm putting on earphones, that's gonna get in the way, probably, have this ability to magically sing in four-part harmony.
Mm-hmm.
How can they, is that right?
Are we on C-sharp, right?
Yeah. Yep. Can I hear it one more time? Yeah, we got this down, don't worry. Yeah, we're gonna master this.
Fall right out of bed and sing us up.
How can there be any sin insincere? Where is the good in goodbye, in goodbye? Your apprehensions confuse me, dear. Puzzle and mystify. Mystify, tell me what can be fair in farewell, dear. While one single star shines above, how can there be any sin in sincere? Aren't we sincerely in love? Oh, we're in love.
Another fantastic job. Thank you, guys. James Konacek and Christopher Callie Jones, Jonathan Swart, and Jeremy Peter Johnson, the Barbershop Quartet from Music Man, that's here until August the 18th. In a minute, we're going to take a break, come back with the two leads of the show, Professor Harold Hill and Monica West, who is Marion the Librarian. That's all coming up for you next, WGN. Officially kick off our weekend theater segment that soon I will be a guest on myself. Maybe they got a spot for me in Les Mis down the street. I'd be a damn good Jean Valjean. Where we tell you about things that are going on stage in Chicago, and one of the best that's in the Chicago area right now is The Music Man. That is at the Goodman Theater, just officially opened the other day, and now has been extended through August the 18th We heard from the Barbershop Quartet just a little while ago, but what a pleasure to see again, because they were over performing for us on the WGN-TV Morning News. But great to have with us Professor Harold Hill, Jeff Packard, and Marion, the librarian, Monica West. Guys, welcome. Nice to have you here with us this morning.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. I'm so happy to be here on your last show.
Thank you. And I'm happy to be here to kick off my musical theater career with all of you guys. You know, I did appear on the Goodman stage once.
Tell us, which show?
It was A Christmas Carol. Christmas Carol, and I was, I believe the you know, like in the playbill, Dope walking across the stage, not saying a word.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Tiny Tim.
Yeah. I played that role a few times.
Does. Yeah, it was it was like, where can we put him where he's not going to screw anything up? So they put me in a costume and let me walk across the stage, and I didn't screw anything up, so I think I'm eminently qualified for this. I got to tell you how much I love the show. Really enjoyed it. I mean, it's a classic. I don't know how many times I've seen Music Man, but going back to high school, I know I saw it in high school at least once, maybe more. But this is such a good production of the show. The classic story, but performances that just knock out of the park.
Thank you.
Yeah, so congratulations. It's got to be so much fun for you now that you've got some shows under your belt and, you know, you're getting standing ovations every night, I know.
That is true.
Yeah. It's got to be great.
Don't
right?
jinx us, but yes, so far so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. Every time we get off stage, we say, that was really fun.
Yeah, it is.
It's just an easy
one of
show.
The most fun musicals ever written, and to be in Chicago in the summer, it just feels like it fits, and so we're having a blast.
Yeah, it's a pure Americana. Is I've had so many people tell me that they came to see the show because they were their exposure to it was with the Robert Preston and Shirley Jones movie version. So, I mean, that's a pretty high bar to compare against, whether you guys do or not. You know, audience members definitely do, and they're coming out very pleased and, you know, very satisfied with the whole thing. Is that intimidating to you as performers in any way? Do you watch the movie to get a sense of what had come before? Do you avoid it so you can keep the role your own?
Yeah, I don't know if I avoided it, but I guess I did, because I didn't want to be influenced by someone else's cadence in speech, and especially for Harold Hill, it's all about sort of discovering the thoughts and how you can con the town in real time. And so my tempo and pace, it was important for me to find. So I didn't watch the movie once I was cast. I don't know about you, Monica.
Yeah, Monica, did you?
Full disclosure, had never seen The Music Man until I auditioned for The Music Man.
So ever?
Ever. So I watched the film because I know it is such an iconic piece, and I wanted to know, well, where people would be coming from. And Mary Zimmerman, our director, took the show in a different direction than the movie, in the way that the natural world is really highlighted. Like, the sky plays a huge part in our show, the sounds of rain and crickets, summer sounds. So in that respect, I think that our production is really based in the natural Midwestern world, whereas like the movie is just larger than life. And I think that's one of the things that makes the movie so wonderful. And then the stage version that we're doing, equally wonderful, but different.
Yeah, well, you know, it's one of the reasons why I enjoy live theater. I don't know if I enjoy the more than movies. I guess it depends on the movie. But the experience of going to a theater and seeing a live performance is what I think what you're talking about, that you can see this giant spectacular movie and then you'll be moved in a completely different visceral way when you see this performed on stage and you hear the sounds and you see the sights. I mean, the staging, all of the bells and whistles that come along in addition to all of the performances in the show as well. Is it fun to sing these familiar songs?
Yes.
I mean, this is a show where just about every song is super familiar, and I had to stop myself from singing along with you.
Yeah, well, you were stopped, but some people are not stopped.
Yeah.
In fact, yesterday we had We had somebody who clearly was in the show in high school saying the Pick a Little Lady's lines just a moment before they did.
Oh.
And that sort of nostalgia is, I think, why people love The Music Man. Everybody, like you said, everybody has their own sort of story or experience with it. So there are a lot of people singing along with us, which is, you know, fun. It's a blast.
It's got to be, but a little, come on, people.
I mean, it's a little distracting.
Let the performers perform. Sing it in your mind, silently or in the car on the way home. That would be great. We're going to hear a couple of the songs in a minute. We are very happy also this morning to have the musical director of the show, Jermaine Hill, who is here. Jermaine, thank you for coming. We don't have a microphone over there by Jermaine, but you're awesome and amazing in keeping this train on the track. There are TV monitors that are set up for the performers to see on the stage. So you can see Jermaine as he musically directs the show, so everybody can stay on the same beat and moment and time. And it's he just does an amazing job in keeping this this whole train on the track, as I like to put it.
And can I add to that he's doing that while playing the piano? There's only one piano in the pit, and Jermaine is playing that. So keeping us on track, he only has his head to bob and a few times where he can pick up his hand and help us. And he is a masterful craftsman
sure
of
is.
Music direction.
Yeah, he sure is. And you're going to hear him play the keyboard for us. And we have Monica and Jeff here to perform for us live. 76 trombones, Till There Was You, all next to WGN. We have got the stars of the latest production at the Goodman Theater, The Music Man, here with us today. Jeff Packard is Professor Harold Hill, and Monica West is Marion, the librarian. Somebody texted in, Jeff, that Ray Rayner, who was a legendary in Chicago television, he was a Chicago children's TV show host for decades in Chicago, and he did local theater and said that he played Professor Harold Hill at the Candlelight Dinner Playhouse back in the day. So those are, you know, these are just some of the legendary people who have taken on the role that you take on.
Well, we have two shows today. If you'd like to come over and play it, you could follow in his footsteps
to be
Harold Hill today.
For you to take the day off and me to step in?
I'm just trying to get, it's a beautiful day.
I can grow a quick mustache. you've got a good stash going on there, my friend.
Thank you, Dean.
What are the most challenging songs for you in this show?
Trouble is trouble.
Trouble
for me.
Here in River City.
It's just so fast, and the words come so quickly that if you get off the train, it leaves without you.
Yeah.
So, and Sadder But Wiser is also, there's a lot of words in these songs, and so if I'm not, one day I looked at the wrong child at the wrong time, and I went to a white room of panic, but caught the train before it left. Those are the trickiest.
Yeah. Well, live theater. I mean, that's part of the charm of live theater, I guess. A crowd favorite, of course, is 76 Trombones. And we're going to, when I say we, I mean you, are going to, I'm not going to ruin it for you, but we'll leave you solo on this. Here with Jeremy Hill on piano is Jeff Packard as Professor Harold Hill.
'76 trombones led the big parade, with 110 cornets close at hand. They were followed by rows and rows of the finest virtuosos, the cream of every famous band. 76 trombones caught the morning sun, with 110 cornets right behind. There were more than 1,000 reeds springing up like weeds. There were horns of every shape and kind. There were copper-bottomed timpani and horse platoons, thundering, thundering all along the way. Double bell euphoniums and big bassoons, each bassoon having his big fat say. There were 50 mounted cannon in the battery, thundering, thundering louder than before. Clarinets of every size and trumpeters who'd improvise a full octave higher than the score.
Very, very nice.
And that's that.
Yeah, very, very nice. Very nice. Like, the crowd goes wild.
Mm-hmm, they do.
Yeah, during that one. And one of the other great moments in the show is Till There Was You, the beautiful song with Marion, the librarian, and Professor Harold Hill. And that's what you've got for us next here, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, take it away. Thank you so much. Thank you for coming in. Thank you on a two-show day on top of it.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's nice to have you with us. Come, go and see the show. You'll really enjoy it. The whole family can go and enjoy The Music Man. It's at the Goodman until August the 18th. Monica West is Marion. Jeff Packard is Harold Hill. And guys, thank you again for coming in.
Thank you, Dean.
All right, Jermaine, wrap it up one more time. There were bells all around. Oh, never mind. Do you notice that Jermaine wouldn't even play? He's like, no, I'm not getting into this. Quick break for the news. We'll be back next. WGN. I'm strong to the finish because I eats me spinach. Popeye the Sailor Man. How did we even start talking about this today?
Let's see. We were talking about Popeye and him eating spinach and getting strong right away. And
somehow
one thing
came
led to another. And
somehow the subject of this cartoon series, Popeye the Sailor Man, came up. And we started talking about the different characters.
Oh, I know what it was. You mentioned Wimpy.
You said, hamburgers.
You said, because of the hamburgers, you said, who was the character on Popeye that would always say, I would gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today? Yeah, it was Wimpy.
And it was his Popeye's buddy.
And one thing led to another.
And we started talking about his girlfriend, Olive Oil. I want to now call extra virgin Olive Oil. Because I'm crazy that way.
Let's not go any further.
Well, I mean, that's what's popular now.
from
that's
now
what
on,
olive oil said.
In the olive oil aisle in Jewel,
yeah.
where you have your cart covered up.
Right. I'll have the extra virgin olive oil, please. Oh, Popeye. And then there was this baby called, we said Sweet Pea.
Sweet Pea.
But actually, the baby is Swee Pea, S-W-E-E apostrophe, and then the word P-P-E-A.
Mm-hmm.
So we had that slightly wrong. And I have another question about that. Whose baby was this?
That's the very good question there.
Where did this baby come from?
The baby was there.
Wasn't the baby with olive oil?
Yes.
Was she a single mother?
I apparently so.
That's pretty risque. For when all... Do you know that Popeye started in 1929?
1929.
It started as a comic strip. I looked this up. It actually started before 1929 in a comic strip that featured olive oil, no Popeye. Olive oil came before Popeye.
The creator was a man by the name of Elsie Seeger, who is from downstate Chester, Illinois, right. And every September they have a Popeye festival in Chester.
Yeah. and then the big controversy this morning came when I said, we said that Popeye's nemesis, we thought his name was Brutus. And then everybody started texting and calling in saying it wasn't Brutus.
It was Bluto.
Bluto. And it turns out we're both right.
Yes.
On this.
That is correct.
Explain spinach breath.
let's see here. I called up Elsie Seeger and I lost all the information to Brutus here. The information I saw said that after the theatrical Popeye cartoon series went out of production in 1957, it was believed, mainly due to poor research, that Paramount Pictures owned the rights to the character of Bluto. To avoid having to pay Paramount royalties, King Features decided to make a similar but legally different character to take Bluto's place in the 1960-62 Popeye show called Brutus.
So they brought the character, a similar giant numbskull.
Yeah, a villain. He's the villain.
He's the bad guy.
Yeah.
But instead of calling him Bluto, they call him Brutus. They
called him Brutus.
In the
right.
new series. Now they get away with still calling Popeye Popeye. And olive oil extra virgin and, olive oil. I wonder how they got away with that.
I don't know.
Of keeping the main character's names, but not the side character.
I wonder if she had a sister named Vinegar. Vinegar and oil.
No, her sister was vegetable and saffron. She had two sisters. We must have had, I don't know how many texts we have on this, but this is like overtaken our text.
The entire show.
Yeah. Now, this is going to be the last thing that we do on this, but I just wanted to clear this up once and for all. Somebody texted in and said that Sweepy, the baby, was abandoned and was adopted by Popeye.
And then Olive Oil took over as kind of the mother figure.
Like the guardian, I guess.
Okay.
Boy, this show is very controversial.
Man, I'll tell you what.
Abandoned babies, single fathers. Extra virgin olive oil. There's like everything here.
Violence when Popeye beats up Brutus.
Oh, there's nothing. There's like insane violence.
Mm-hmm. Throwing each other around.
Yeah, this is when cartoon violence was fun, where you could throw an anvil at somebody and it didn't really hurt them.
Bounced
that
off
much.
Their head. And
it,
just
yeah, yeah, it might make their head look like an anvil for a second, and then it would pop right back into shape again. But tremendously
or
violent.
Wile E. Coyote falling off the mountain.
Are you kidding me? Wile E.
And
Coyote.
Being pulverized.
There should have been a support group for Wile E. Coyote for all the abuse that poor guy put up with at the hands of a maniacal bird.
Beep, beep.
Mark, you're on WGN. Hello.
Hi, Dean. How are you today?
Well, we're fine. We're a little stuck on this Popeye thing this morning.
I got a few more facts for you. In fact, we've met before at the Arcata Theater where we saw Jerry Lewis.
Oh, Jerry Lewis at the Arcata Theater in St. Charles.
Yeah.
A happy, so, happy moment, yes.
A couple more facts about Popeye. Olive had a brother. Olive Oil's brother was named Castor Oil.
Seriously?
Yes.
Wow.
And Wimpy was his last name. His full name was J. Wellington Wimpy.
Now, what was his relationship in this whole thing?
He was a moocher, but he wasn't Minnie the Moocher.
So he was just a guy that...
Yeah, just some guy.
Popeye's friend, Olive Oil's friend?
Yeah, yeah, he was just somebody who hung around that town.
And would just eat hamburgers all day.
Yeah, never paid anybody Tuesday for a hamburger today.
Yeah, he never paid anybody for it. He was completely a moocher.
And Sweepy's relationship, he called Popeye his adopted father.
Wow.
He just showed up one day.
Are Popeye cartoons shown anywhere anymore?
Oh, sometimes you'll see them on our favorite TV station, WGN. And Andy Starr used to show them at the Odeon Theater.
Yeah, I remember.
If you remember that with the Three Stooges.
Yeah, I remember back in the day that you know, we would see those. But I don't think I don't think that WGN runs them anymore now. I'm pretty sure that we don't. But I don't think that they run any place on Cartoon Networks or any place now. But, man, what a blast from the past. And these are classics. I mean, this was a cartoon strip, a comic strip that was so popular, they turned it into this animated feature.
And then the doors open and close to show the credits.
Right, right. Wow. That was something. Well, Mark, you have an even more bizarre knowledge of things that don't matter than Shawnee and I do.
That's because you're my role model, Dean.
That's terrifying. Terrifying. Hey, would you like a pair of pavilion seats to join us at Ravinia on July 21st? We're going to show.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, we're going to show Ghostbusters that night up on the big screen. And the Chicago Symphony Orchestra will play the score live like we did this past Friday with West Side Story. I'm going to...
Will Ray Parker Jr. be there?
Well, we'll find out, I guess, won't we? Hang on for a second, and we will get all that information. Yeah, if anybody would like to join us, this is going to be a week from Friday, July 21st, Ghostbusters at Ravinia with the CSO, and I'm going to hold another one of these pre-concert discussions like we did. We had a lot of fun the other night at Ravinia, and we'll do it again July 21st, so I hope you can join us for that. You can go to ravinia.org if you'd like to get more info. A quick break, and we'll continue. John Favreau, the director of the new Lion King movie, talks with me one-on-one. Coming up next, WGN.
Can you feel the love tonight? The peace the evening brings.
11:45, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. New box office numbers are out. Spider-Man Far From Home, the number one movie again. Very possibly next week, the number one movie in America will be this. The new version of Lion King that features Donald Glover, the voice of adult Simba, Beyonce.
He's holding back, he's hiding.
Featured his young love. Also in the movie, Seth Rogen, Billy Eichner, Alfre Woodard. John Oliver, Zazu in the movie. I saw it. I was in Los Angeles this past Wednesday and Thursday and saw the movie, and I liked it. I liked it. It is getting trashed in some of the early reviews. I mean, people are giving it bad reviews, but when you read the bad reviews, what they are mostly doing is comparing this new version to the original. They're not judging this movie on the merits of this movie. They're judging it with the emotional impact that they first felt, either taking their kids to see the original Lion King back in the day or being a kid when the original Lion King came out. And I don't know. I don't think that a comparison like that is fair. And I do my best. I hope I succeed most of the time when I review something, not to base my review on a different movie. I'm basing my feelings on what I see up on the screen. And what I saw up on the screen for Lion King, the new Lion King, was something that was technically stunning. Director Jon Favreau took this movie and created, you know, with special effects. Everything looks like it's real. It's all computer generated. Everything is computer generated in this movie. And the voices are provided by Donald Glover and Beyonce and Seth Rogen and Billy Eichner and so forth. But it's so realistic. It's mind-blowing to look at. Is it, as some people are saying, that there's no emotion in this new movie? And I completely disagree with that. I left this movie with a big smile on my face. It's very nostalgic from remembering all of that. But the story itself, from what you see on the screen, the story is told beautifully. It's very emotional. It's still a very lovely story. You know, some people are saying, why did they even have to make a second Lion King movie? Well, you know, why is Steven Spielberg making a second West Side Story? Why have there been numerous versions of so many different classics? This is one of the classics. Money's part of the equation. Disney sees that there's plenty of money to be made by making another Lion King, but why not tell the story again in a slightly different way, in a more revised way with updated voice performers in it? Why not? I enjoyed it. I'll tell you much more on television and with Steve Cochran later this week on our Moron Entertainment segment that we do every weekday from 8 to 8:30. So, you know, that said, I like this new movie. I don't care what everybody else is saying about it. I also sat down with most of the cast and talked about this movie, including our old pal Jon Favreau, who we just saw a few weeks ago here in Chicago. He got the Renaissance Award from the Gene Siskel Film Center. He was here in town, Robert Downey Jr. presenting him the award. And that's where we started off our conversation. So you had a good time when you were in Chicago?
I did.
Yeah.
I love coming back to Chicago because I didn't grow up there. I don't have family there. So when you don't have family, you're not making the trip that often.
You were really connected, though.
But I really felt that was a big part of my life where I sort of decided, hey, I'm going to try to act. I'm going to try to get into comedy.
Right.
And that was a new chapter for me. And it was 4 years from, I was like 22 to 26. 88 to 92 I was
formative,
and then got to watch from Washing Dishes at Second City, got to watch all these comedy greats performing on stage, Chris Farley coming up with those routines, those characters, and studying with Del Close. So it was a bit, so I love getting back when I can.
And did you get to Wiener Circle? That's the big question.
I did. We had food brought. The Downies were hosting me, and they had a whole spread they brought back to the hotel. I didn't have time to go there, but they brought a whole spread back
lovely,
to the hotel room.
Very lovely. Yeah. Speaking of Chicago, a Chicago connection that a lot of people may not know with Lion King is Chance the Rapper's involvement in all of this.
No, Chance was, he's just, you know, big fan of the original film. Donald Glover knows him well, and through him asked, you know, I offered, does he want to see what we're up to? Because I know he cares. And he came just as somebody curious to see what was going on. Yeah. And that led to him becoming a bit of a guide for me. He was a bit of a Sherpa on this because anytime I was going to change something, he knows every line. And he knows music so well also.
Right.
So it's rare that you find somebody who's such a big fan, but also understands music and what's cool and what's current. And understanding what we were updating and what we were staying true to. And then it turned into, hey, you want to record some you want to do some cameos? You want to record a voice of a character? And so when you see the part where they get in Hakuna Matata, where they're eating all the grubs, he's about, he's like half the animals there doing different voices.
Oh, wow.
So it was really great having him around and also being somebody of that generation who knows the original material so well to help me.
I have to wonder about the challenges that you faced in, number one, remaking one of the most popular movies of all time with the new technical advances, even since Jungle Book, in doing this. But what your challenges were in expressing the emotion with such realistic characters in this. There's, I guess, the chance that it could change subtle nuances from the
original.
Of course.
Well, you know, if you have this incredible emotional anthropomorphic palette of the original animated film, and you have to kind of make the choice of what approach do you want to take. We knew if we made this look like just a 3D animated version of Lion King, people did not need that version right now. But the idea of making it look naturalistic and fooling people into thinking they're looking at real animals seemed like an interesting new way to tell the story. And I had learned a lot from watching, do you remember the movie Babe?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that movie, it still holds up, by the way. I brought my kids to see it in a theater in a revival house at the Cinematheque. And what's amazing about that film is, and this was something that helped us with Jungle Book, because we had the same issue, is I felt so much connection to that little pig. But it's not a CG pig. It's a real pig with real pig, you know, emoting the way a pig does through its body language, not through facial expression. And they just added a moving mouth.
Yeah.
And I realized that looking at that, looking at the BBC, like Planet Earth documentaries, if you play the right music, if you edit it correctly, and you tell the right story, you can read a lot of emotion into animals. And often I feel more emotionally connected to animals in a documentary than a lot of stories about people. So we had to really look at how to tell a story using different tools and not relying on human expressions. In the circle of life.
The Elton John version of Circle of Life from the original Lion King. Elton John does not sing in this movie. Other performers do, including Beyonce and Donald Glover and Seth Rogen. They do a version of Can You Feel the Love Tonight, which is rather amazing. I enjoyed this new Circle of Life. I think some of the early reviews on this are tremendously unfair. I went in to watch this movie, and, you know, what I ask myself when I review movies, you know, can I tell somebody that you're going to have a couple of hours of enjoyment? And I think you are. The kids are. Adults are. I think it's very, very enjoyable. Outside of the technical amazement of being able to do this, all computer-generated. It looks so real. The new Lion King will open on Friday. I'll give you my full review on it then. Throughout the week on the WGN TV morning news, I'll be sharing my interviews with the cast tomorrow morning, Seth Rogen and Billy Eichner. WGN TV morning news tomorrow. We're going to take a break. Update news coming up in a minute. 720 WGN. This hot, humid weather like this.
I'm a summer baby, so it's in my nature.
Yeah. I'm not a summer baby, but I'll take this over polar vortex any day.
Oh, yeah. We were out on the lake covering the start of the Mackinac race yesterday.
How was that?
Fantastic. Yeah, fantastic day. For the most part, the winds were favorable to start. Then they shifted from the north, which meant they had to move around a little bit. But a beautiful day out there yesterday.
Yeah, it was a perfect time for that.
Mm-hmm.
For that and really anything outdoor. There's so many festivals that are going on this weekend. But I guess I hadn't really paid attention to who's at Taste of Chicago this year and who isn't until we were about to get into our Food Time segment and talk about ice cream and our favorite ice cream places. And mine is, without a doubt, the original Rainbow Cone, which I grew up with, 92nd and Southwestern. And we had some ice cream delivered to the show a couple of years ago, and Schwani got to try it for the first time, and now he's a convert. Anyone who tries it says how delicious it is.
I don't see how you could not like that ice cream.
And and we were wondering, you know, is it at Taste? Normally, they've been at Taste.
They
Chicago.
Have been at Taste.
I think
yes.
Since the beginning, they've been at Taste. And I looked it up, and they are booth number 38.
Okay, see you later.
They're right next to Buckingham Fountain.
I know where that is.
Right next, it would be like Ida B. Wells Drive, and what would that be? Columbus.
Right, Ida B. Wells in Columbus.
Yeah,
yep.
They're right on Columbus, right next to Buckingham Fountain.
Bye. See you next week.
Don't we have some best of shows that we can run right now? Oh, we haven't had any best ofs.
Worst of.
Don't we have
the worst?
Don't
of.
We have any shows that were sort of not too awful? We must have some. We must have one or two of those.
More than one or two.
Rainbow is out there. I was just looking at the list here. Arun's Thai restaurant. That is
some of the best.
That might be the best Thai restaurant in the country. That's considered to be the best Thai restaurant in the country.
Exceptional.
That's really good. Kasha's Deli. They sell pierogies. Mostly for taste, that's what it is. It's a Polish deli, but... at Taste, you can get a whole variety of different pierogies and glumpkies, you know, and things like that. Lou Malnati's is out there. That's always great. Robinson's Ribs, they've been out there.
Robinson's have been there for years.
They've been like one of the originals at Taste. What else is out there? Let's see here. Some things that sound delicious. Franco's Restaurante, they have Italian ice. Oh, some nice homemade Italian ice on a day like this.
Mm-hmm.
That would be good. Mm. Auntie Joy's Jamaican restaurant.
What's wrong with that?
90 degrees and Jamaican food. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that goes together. Not a big fan of the like super hot on a hot day. What else here? Rico Bene's. Oh, that's they make great Italian sandwiches, Italian breaded steak sandwiches. They're famous for that. Eli's Cheesecake is out there. Vienna Beef is out there this year. There is, I don't know which restaurant it is, but one of the restaurants, one of the booths, Wisely at Taste of Chicago, is serving alligator sandwiches. Get it? Get it?
It could be real alligator, too.
Might be. Might be, what are they calling it?
Chance the Snapper.
Chance the Snapper, right. So anyway, that's all that's going on right now. Black Dog Gelato. Have you heard of Black Dog Gelato?
No.
They have a pop-up booth at Taste. I hope it's open today so people can try it. They're in Bucktown. They make very high-quality gelato. And it's delicious. It's absolutely delicious, which kind of brings us back to the original topic of this, of our favorite ice cream places. We've had just some amazing places in Chicago where you go. Maybe you've gone since you were a kid to enjoy ice cream in Chicago. Maybe it's one of these new gelato joints, or maybe it's some of the old-time places like Peterson's or Rainbow or, you know, some of the others that are in your neighborhoods or where you grew up. I want to hear about these. And then we're going to talk with an ice cream expert to talk about the different kinds of ice creams and things that you can do with your frozen delights. 312-981-7200 is our telephone number, and we've got some little nice gifts to give away off of our prize list when you share some of your food favorites here today. 312-981-7200, WGN.
And then there's this, a violent family fight at Disneyland. The video posted on YouTube begins with an argument between a man and a woman pushing a stroller with two young girls in front of Goofy's Playhouse. The man takes a wild swing at the woman. The woman spits in his face. Disney security arrived shortly after and broke up the fight. Can you imagine if Goofy had to break up the fight?
Hey, you shouldn't do that.
Settle down, people.
Stop.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Dogs and animals.
Oh, stop it.
On 720 WGN.
Follow the yellow brick road.
To Chicago's Shakespeare Theater on Navy Pier this summer for The Wizard of Oz. Based on the classic MGM film, this magical 75-minute musical is sure to delight the whole family. Dorothy and her trusty pup Toto encounter new friends, including the Scarecrow, Tin Man, and Cowardly Lion, and discover there's truly no place like home.
There's no place like home.
After the show, meet the cast for autographs and photos. On stage now through August 25th. For information, visit ChicagoShakes.com.
With dental implants from Eon Clinics, you'll start every day with a smile. Smile and stop trying to hide your mouth. Smile and eat your favorite foods again. The world is a better place when you start smiling again. For a free consultation, call 844-365-SMILE or online at eonclinics.com today. That's eonclinics.com. Dental implants from Eon Clinics. Smile for life.
Your basement is already dry most of the time, but if you want your basement dry all of the time, you know who to call. PermaSeal at 800-421-SEAL or permaseal.net.
Ladder Life Term Policies are issued by Fidelity Security Life Insurance Company, Kansas City, Missouri.
Have you been thinking about getting life insurance, but unsure about the coverage you need? Say hello to Ladder, the amazingly easy way to get and maintain the right life insurance coverage for you. With Ladder, you can get a policy in just a few minutes and adjust your coverage anytime with a couple of clicks. No fees, no hassle. With traditional life insurance, you may end up overpaying for a big block of coverage that doesn't fit your needs over time. As life unfolds, events like having kids or buying a new home might mean you need to increase your coverage. But as kids grow up, the mortgage is paid off, and your savings add up, chances are you'll want to decrease your coverage and save money. At Ladder, you control your coverage. So go to ladderlife.com, answer a few questions, select your coverage amount and term, and get an instant decision. Stellar prices, no brokers, cancel anytime. The way life and life insurance should be. Simple. Just go to ladderlife.com. That's ladderlife.com.
Quote 17, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. Talking ice cream today, trying to cool you off on this hot July day. Your favorite ice cream joints around the Chicago area. I wanted to mention, before we get to the phones, at our WGN TV block party this past Friday in downtown Naperville, where it was reported, the Tribune reported, that 10,000 people were there. It was packed. I'm not surprised. But also there was a good old-fashioned Good Humor truck. Remember how crazy you'd go when the Good Humor man came down the street or the ice cream truck? But, you know, classic Good Humor man would stop and all the kids would chase and you give them a dime or a quarter or whatever, however much ice cream cost back then. I would always go for the chocolate eclair bar. That was my favorite. I used to like the strawberry shortcake bar. That was great. And then they came out with those multicolored popsicles that looked like rockets, and those were fantastic. What were some of your favorites? 312-981-1700. Geraldine, in Lincoln Park, do you remember the old Good Humor trucks, Geraldine?
Yes, I do. Very much so.
It was like hypnotic to hear the bells on the Good Humor truck or the music playing from them. It was like hypnotizing children to come and chase that truck no matter what.
Well, my favorite is an ice cream shop.
What is it?
Margie's at Armitage and Western.
Oh, yeah.
That's an oldie, and so am I. So that's why I remember it.
Yeah, but you know what? Margie's is going strong over there at Armitage.
They've got a second place, too.
Oh, do they? They have a second location as well.
Yes.
Have you ever had, I forget what they call it. Is it called a turtle sundae?
Oh, Yeah. God, I'm 87 years old, and I used to go there when I was a kid with my mom and dad. And I still get there every once in a while because I live in Lincoln Park.
Yeah.
So they have delicious stuff there.
It is delicious. I haven't been there in a while, but they have a sundae that comes sort of in a, it's like a giant bowl that looks like a seashell, right?
Oh, yeah. I used to share that with some of my siblings.
Yeah, because they're pretty big. But don't they have one that's gigantic?
Yeah, I know. It's like a mountain. It really is, but it's so good. I could finish that all by myself right now.
God bless you. Hang on for a second. I'm going to send you a gift certificate for Lou Malnati's Pizza so you can wash down the ice cream. Don't go away. Thank you for the call, Geraldine. Barbara in Buffalo Grove, you're on WGN.
Hi, Dean. Listen to you all the time.
Thank you.
Love your program.
Thank you. Thank you.
The one that I remember is Buffalo's, because I'm an oldie also. And one of the fond memories is when my girlfriend was dating her boyfriend at age 19. We all ordered sodas, and before we even said two words, his was all gone. And he still eats that way today, and he's going to be 90 in December.
Wow, how about that?
So, and now Buffalo's is also in Buffalo Grove.
Right. Now, did it used to be on Irving Park Road in Chicago?
Yes, in the 50s. Yes, my dear, yes. But now they've had several owners down Buffalo's there in Buffalo Grove, but they still have their soda fountain.
Yeah, Buffalo's is a quintessential Chicago ice cream parlor, I guess you might call it, for, you know, lack of a better word. But they're one of these famous ones that's been around forever.
Yes. Well, like I said, I remember them from the 50s, so it's quite a while.
You know what I could go for right now, Barbara?
Don't tell me. What?
I could go for a root beer float right now.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Well, I used to love the chocolate phosphates at one time.
Oh, I loved phosphates, too. Loved phosphates.
Yes. But my favorite still a chocolate soda. I love my chocolate sodas.
Is a root beer float the same as a black cow?
I really don't know. I would imagine it's pretty much the same.
Wonder if you use Coke.
What do they put in a black cow? Isn't it root beer too? And
well, I know a root beer float is root beer and ice cream,
right?
But is a black cow? Is that Coke and ice cream? Is that? I don't know if it's the same thing or not. Either way,
I really don't know.
I would happily accept either one right now.
I would too. It's hot enough.
Have a great day, Barbara. I appreciate it. Hang on for a second. We're going to get you an American Weathermakers heating and cooling indoor weather station. Those are a lot of fun. This is Belle calling from Lamont. And hi, you're on WGN.
Hey, how are you?
Very well. Is it Belle, B-E-L-L?
B-L-L-E.
Oh, Dell. Dell.
No, B like boy, E-L-L-E.
Oh, okay. I got it. Oh, Belle like a Beauty and the Beast Belle.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it.
And my mom and dad used to make black cows, and they were just root beer and ice cream.
Root beer
and ice cream? We weren't an ice cream shop.
you had an ice cream shop?
No, I said we weren't an ice cream shop, but
not.
They always called them black cows.
They called them, yeah, I wonder now. I wonder if it's exactly the same as a root beer float. I'm 100% not sure. You want to hear what traumatized me as a kid? When Diet Right soda came out, remember, Tab and, you know, all these diet drinks were coming out that tasted awful. My mother used to drink those, you know, like crazy, and she would pour them in a Dixie cup and put them in the freezer. And while the other kids got to have good humor, she would say, "You have frozen ice cups downstairs."
Oh.
And it was this disgusting, like, frozen Tab or Diet Right or whatever it was. It was like, we want good humor. We don't want frozen Diet Right.
Right? Okay, it's awful.
That's right. Traumatized. Anyway,
I started working from home on Sundays, and I listened to you religiously every Sunday morning.
Thank you.
So nice.
That's so nice
and
of you.
And fun.
So what's your favorite ice cream?
Well, there's a place in Lamont, and they just serve, like, the soft serve, like the old Tasty Freeze soft serve.
Yeah.
And you can get chocolate, vanilla, or a twist, but it's incredible ice cream at the Lemon Tree.
and Lemon Tree has been there. My sister's 11 years older than me, and I'm 50. And it was back in the day. She used to work there. It was across the street, a different building, but they've been there forever. And they have the best butter garlic bread.
Oh, that sounds good, too.
Oh, my God. Like no other. Nobody's ever replicated them.
Wow. Butter garlic bread.
Mm-hmm.
That's a combo.
If you ever get a chance, come to Lamont. It's right on the main street.
That's quite a combo there of garlic bread and soft serve ice cream.
No, garlic butter fries.
Garlic butter fries. Oh, that's even better.
Mm-hmm. You have no idea. Oh, if you had them, you'd be like, oh, my gosh.
I may try to make that at home this week. Mm-hmm. So soft serve ice cream, Lemon Tree, you said it's called in Lamont.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Very good. I appreciate your call. And if you'll hang on for a second, Lou Malnati's pizza gift certificate coming your way. I appreciate your call. Let me take a quick break. When we come back, we'll take some more of your calls, find out more of your favorite ice cream joints. And an ice cream expert joins us to talk about making your own favorite frozen desserts. All next on WGN.
To Jurassic Park.
Chance the Snapper, the alligator that has shown up in Chicago.
It's a dinosaur.
There's some confusion here about the difference between a gator and a crocodile. What is the primary difference?
It's really just money, man. It's a class system.
This thing doesn't live in a swamp.
All I see are these pictures of Alligator Bob going around in circles out there waiting for this thing to bite something.
Bob, this is John. You're on WGN Radio. How are you?
We're keeping our fingers crossed.
And keep your fingers.
The only in Chicago stories.
You said you've got a T-Rex.
Uh-huh.
Say again.
We have a T-Rex.
Told here 24-7, 720 WGN.
Okay, so let's go back to the phones here, 312-981-7200. Sandy, where are you calling from this morning?
I am calling from beautiful Ravenswood Manor.
Lovely. One of my favorite neighborhoods.
I know, it's gorgeous. Anyway, I could probably talk to you for an hour about ice cream, but I won't bore you. Margie's is one of my favorites. I like Jenny's. There's this new place that's called Road Ice Cream. I haven't tried yet.
Now, wait.
Ashland.
Where's Jenny's now?
On Southport.
Southport.
They have quite a few locations.
Okay.
I think they have one on Damon also.
Okay.
But they make unusual ice cream. And now, of course, I can't remember a flavor, but they're wonderful, wonderful. But this new ice cream place on Ashland, they do like a rolled ice cream. Kind of Ashland, just south of Belmont.
Okay.
Where it's like they take a spatula and they roll it. Looks like a rolled up crepe.
Okay.
And I haven't been there yet.
So wait, they take the ice cream.
Soft serve custard.
They take the ice cream and roll it out flat, and then what do they roll it? They
roll
it
like a spatula. It looks like when you'd roll a crepe.
Yeah.
It has that kind of look.
Okay. And then how do you eat it though?
They put it in a cone or a cup.
They flatten it out and then cut it and put it in a cup?
Yeah, it looks like a tube. Yes, oh. I haven't been there. Friends of mine have, and I can't wait to go.
Okay.
And we used to have a rainbow place on Ashland and Huron when I was a kid.
Well, this place, Jenny's, that you're talking about with the rolled-out ice cream, listen to some of their flavors here. Goat cheese with red cherry ice cream.
Make you go crazy.
Does that sound good to you? I guess I like
something different, you know, but you're talking to a vanilla person here. So
another one of their flavors is roasted strawberry buttermilk. That sounds good.
Oh, that does sound good. It sounds really good.
Wild berry lavender. That sounds delicious.
My granddaughter likes that. She says it's excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, that sounds good. Okay, so that's...
But I make a wicked hot fudge sauce. I'll send you a recipe.
Oh, you know what? You can't beat a good old-fashioned hot fudge sundae. Do you put nuts on it or no?
Of course. Of course. Now, we live close to Margie's over on Montrose, so we'll run and do even ice cream as takeout, and they'll put the hot fudge in a separate little styrofoam cup. But,
yeah.
Oh, it's wonderful.
Now, that's... is that Montrose, like Ravenswood and Montrose?
Yes, right at the L,
right at the L
line,
stop.
The Brown Line line.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Well, those are some great places.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, we could talk for hours. Of course, there's Oberweiss, which is good.
Oberweiss, Cold Stone Creamery, you know, is another one if you like your ice creams all, you know, mixed up with other stuff inside of it. So hang on for a second. So I've got a pair of tickets for you to join us at Ravinia a week from today. We're going to be out there showing the movie Ghostbusters, and the Chicago Symphony Orchestra will play the score live. Should be a huge amount of fun. We'll set you up with a pair of tickets, and I appreciate your call. Thank you very much. And, yeah, well, you know what? Let's get a news update, and we'll continue. 312-981-7200. Our news is up next, and with all the latest for you, here is Dave Schwann. Thought about running over to Taste of Chicago during the newscast.
Were you going to get me an ice cream cone?
I was going to get me an ice cream cone. I guess I could have picked one up for you, too.
Oh. All right.
Turns out I didn't have enough time to get over there.
Yeah, I didn't see you sprint, so.
I haven't moved from this chair. I actually have not gotten out of this chair for 4 hours. Not saying I'm in a lazy kind of Sunday mood.
No,
I have not moved out of this chair today. But this ice cream talk has got me starving.
Well, you can't go wrong with ice cream talk. Everybody has their favorite.
It is, well, especially on a hot day like
mm-hmm.
this. And yep. A lot of people chiming in, telling us their favorite ice cream places. My brothers and I used to enjoy the square scoops of licorice ice cream from Cock Robin. Remember that chain, Cock Robin?
I do not.
They made burgers, and they had, I don't think I've ever had a square scoop of ice cream.
No.
Them, but apparently they do serve it. Love the custard, homemade custard from Scooters at Belmont and Polina. People are telling me about the Freezing Point in the 3100 block of Ashland. Sherman's in Michigan.
Oh, Sherman's.
South Haven.
Outstanding. Just plain old chocolate ice cream.
Yeah.
Sherman's. Yes, sir.
On Southwest Highway in Oak Lawn, there's a place, let me see what the name is, called the Big Dipper. They have something called the Atomic Bomb. Chocolate, vanilla, strawberry ice cream with all kinds of toppings in a big bowl.
Mm-mm.
That sounds very rainbow ice cream like.
It does.
Except nothing compares to rainbow ice cream. And we were asking, what's the difference between a black cow and a root beer float? The general consensus on the phone is that a black cow is a root beer float that has chocolate syrup or chocolate ice cream in it.
Okay, that answers that question.
As opposed to vanilla. So that's the latest on all that. We continue now. Bringing in an actual ice cream expert on the subject, Dana Cree, who's on the phone line with us. Very nice to have you on with us here. Now, you have your own ice cream shop. Is that right, Dana?
I do, yeah, in Logan Square.
Yeah, called Pretty Cool Ice Cream. Great name for an ice cream place.
Thanks.
So, tell us about your place, because it seems like there's a whole new generation of ice cream places that are putting together really interesting and, you know, flavors and combinations of things that you might not expect together, but they go great together.
Yeah, so I think a lot of ice cream shops in the last 10 years have been opened by pastry chefs who have a lot of experience sort of experimenting with flavors in restaurants before they get into ice cream, and then when they sort of simplify and narrow down their scope, they still want to sort of bring these interesting flavors into the ice cream shop. And personally, I think ice cream is the perfect place to put experimental flavors because it's so creamy and so sweet and so cold and simple that it can express so many different flavors and still feel familiar. But the shop that I have specializes even further, and everything we offer is on a stick. So we have water-based popsicle-type pops, and then we have non-dairy ice cream pops. And then our most popular pops are the dipped and decorated ice cream bars.
Are those the party pops, as they're called?
That is, a party pop is just one of the many. We didn't know what else to call that pop because we put so many different sprinkles on it that we just thought it looked like a party had exploded all over this popsicle.
On the bar, right?
Ice cream.
I love
they're all ice cream bars.
I love that you have vegan pops also that are made with plant-based milk. Also pops for dogs called pupsicles.
Yeah. Yeah, our puppy pops. We're huge animal lovers. And one of the very first things we did was
make little treats for our pups, too.
Yeah. Now, talk to me a little bit about some of the flavor combinations that you have. Because, you know, here, you know, things are a little bit different. Like, for example, caramel potato chip. That's something that you wouldn't think about for an ice cream bar, but it sounds absolutely delicious.
Yeah, what ended up sticking on the menu is actually peanut butter potato chip.
Oh.
And we really love salty, crunchy things. So when we figured out that crunchy things stay crunchy if they're stirred into melted chocolate, because chocolate is all fat and some solids, the first thing we did was put potato chips in it. The second thing we did was put pretzels in it. And both of those bars are still on the menu. Peanut butter potato chip vies for most popular with our coffee ice cream that's dipped in chocolate with pretzels and toffee in it.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds pretty amazing. That sounds really amazing. Tell me about some of the other more popular things that that you're selling.
We have a really popular little category of ice creams we call Piecicles. I partnered with Michael Chipchak, who owns Bang Bang Pie, and the first thing everybody asked is, like, when will we see a pie and ice cream collaboration? And I think they thought we were going to put a scoop of ice cream on a piece of pie. And then they were like, well, what if they made ice cream pies? And we took it even a step further and made pie-flavored ice cream and then dipped it in a cinnamon graham cracker shell. And those are really unique and really interesting. We always have key lime and banana cream pie around, and then we rotate a seasonal fruit. And at the moment, we're using sour cherries from Michigan, so we have a cherry Piecicle.
You know, as you were describing this, I was just thinking how great a cherry pie ice cream bar would be, how delicious that would be. if it were made, you know,
yeah.
Given what you say of, you know, this very foodie kind of approach to, you know, to putting all of this together. What?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to I just want to talk in general about, like, the different types of ice cream that are out. Is store-bought ice cream, you know, is that a bad thing to, you know, to use super foodies in this?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, I would call myself an opportunistic foodie more than a super foodie. I want delicious food wherever I go, and the grocery store is a place I frequent 2-3 times a week. And the other nice thing about ice cream is that because it's frozen, the quality can kind of stay still as long as you maintain that temperature. So as long as the cold chain from the producer to the grocery store is maintained, there's excellent ice cream in the grocery store.
Now, what's the difference? You know, you walk down the aisle at the grocery store and you see, you know, 7 or 8 different kinds of ice cream, frozen yogurts, you know, lots of different things. What are the differences between some of those?
Well, if you just start with ice cream, you have sort of your economy ice creams, which are the lowest price. They're often in the largest containers. And if you pick them up, they are the lightest weight. They have a lot of air whipped into them, and they have a very low butterfat content. The government has stepped in and made a law that says you cannot have less than 10% butterfat in your ice cream. So if it's cold ice cream, you know there's at least 10% butterfat in there, and it has to be butter. You can't use a different oil or a different tropical fat and still call it ice cream, which is why if you pick up a pint of Halo Top, they don't call it ice cream. So within the ice cream, you've got these economy brands that are great for large groups, got a lot of air whipped into them, so they're not as dense, which would make them lower calorie, also because they don't have as much butterfat in them. And they're very simply flavored, and they're probably the kinds of ice cream most of us grew up eating at birthday parties and large gatherings, because
right.
They are affordable, they come in giant buckets, and they're, like, generally crowd pleasers. They also come in some of my most favorite nostalgic flavors. Like, I'm from Seattle, so we had something called Moose Tracks that you don't typically see when you get into the higher end stuff. There's one called Swiss Orange that I love that has, like, teeny tiny little cups with orange inside of them, and it's like orange sherbet with chocolate flakes in it.
Yum.
And then as the ice cream gets smaller and more expensive, what you can typically expect to...
From a pretty cool ice cream. Pretty cool concept and description of for an ice cream place, 2353 North California in Chicago. What's that right near Fullerton, I think, right, Dana?
It is. It's on the corner of California and Fullerton.
Excellent. All right, so people can come and check that out. We were just talking about the different kinds of ice cream. You were, you know, we were heading into the smaller containers, the more expensive. I assume that would be the the Haagen-Dazs and the Ben and Jerry's and you know, some of the even more the higher line gelatos and things like that, right?
Yeah. So, you know, the more expensive the ice cream gets, the smaller container it typically gets, you should expect to see better quality ingredients, sometimes more interesting flavors, and they should start to feel heavier and heavier because there's a lot less air whipped into them, so each spoonful actually has more ice cream in each bite. And, of course, the butterfat gets up into the 16 to 18% range, which they used to call super premium because that was kind of the top of the line at 16%. Now they've sort of invented this ultra premium category, which is if your grocery store has Jenny's ice cream, that would definitely fall into the ultra premium category.
Is that Jenny's, like the Jenny's ice cream shop? Same thing?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay. What's the difference between gelato and ice cream?
Well, aside from gelato being Italian and ice cream as we know it, American ice cream typically being much, much firmer. I have a sister who lives in Germany, and she actually misses getting a scoop of ice cream that's hard enough that you can bite into it, because that's not the style that's served in Europe.
Yeah.
Instead, it's the gelato style, which is typically much lower in fat. It's also whipped with much less air. And then, to me, the defining factor is that gelato is not put in the freezer and left to harden up overnight before you scoop it.
Right.
Gelato is churned and then served that day while it's still kind of soft and stretchy. In America, you'll see a lot of gelato that is in pints in the freezer case, or sometimes shops will do this too, where it's Italian-flavored ice cream, but it's left to harden overnight. And to me, that is where there's sort of a breakdown in technique, because you would never squirt some soft serve out into a cup, put it in the freezer overnight, and still think it's soft serve.
Right.
But that's what we do to gelato. And I think it makes people from Italy cringe when that happens.
I can't imagine. Speaking of, having been in Italy and in Europe and had gelato there, the taste difference is amazingly different, for the most part, than gelato that I've had here in the U.S. Is that just quality of ingredients?
Partially. If you've ever had gelato that's been hardened, when you don't freeze the gelato overnight, the temperature is much warmer, so the flavors are much quicker to be perceived by your palate. So with ice cream, we have to warm that ice cream up with our mouth before the flavors start to present themselves. So a bite, the flavor release is delayed, but then it lingers much longer. Whereas with gelato, it's very present right away and then sort of dissipates quickly.
Okay, so it's really sort of the temperature of the ice cream that might be making the difference then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so.
I'm a big fan of pistachio gelato, and I've had it where it makes me want to cry. It's so delicious. And then I've had it where it tastes like chemicals. I just thought, well, somebody's using pistachio flavoring or something here to try to pass this off as pistachio, whereas you can actually taste the warm nuttiness in others, generally Italian-served gelatos.
Yeah, well, pistachio is grown quite a bit in Europe, so it's a little more affordable there. it's very expensive here and in the United States. So people will buy a more affordable pistachio paste that's cut with a lot of sugar and also with a lot of flavoring to sort of boost the pistachio. It's also often not entirely pistachio. It'll often be like the nut inside of it will be almond, and then the flavoring will be pistachio with some green coloring.
Trying to fool me with my pistachio.
But on the flip side,
yes.
Yeah, on the flip side, if you go to Europe, walnuts are one of the most expensive nuts you can buy there. But here, because we grow so many of them, they're one of the most affordable nuts.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. Yeah. And then, you know, how do you fall on frozen yogurt? You know, you see that, and I think people think that there's a perception that somehow they're eating something that's healthier. Is that true?
Well, it depends on which part of the scoop you consider healthy. You're eating as much, if not more, sugar, but it certainly does not have as much butterfat. So calorically, it probably reads lower. But really, the yogurt is giving it a lot of body with protein, with milk protein, especially if they're using a strained yogurt. And then the acidity of it is very nice, but it still does have quite a bit of sugar in it. So I know healthy means a lot of different things to a lot of different people.
Right.
And
yeah, in this case, it could just, you know, be, you know, marketing, I guess, of, you know, put some yogurt, you know, Greek yogurt, especially to make it sound like it's, you know, extra healthy for you for some reason. Really interesting. And I have to stop in your shop to try some of these amazing things that you've got going on. They sound so delicious and so creative. It's called Pretty Cool Ice Cream at 2353 North California, California and Fullerton in Chicago. And I'm so glad you could join us. Dana, thank you so much for joining us today.